Why aren't there any songs about dildos? Toys modeled after guys. Makers have visions and designs to do them, but I want them all inside. So we've been told, and some choose to believe it, I want a dong, wait and see. Someday I'll nod it, the dildo connection, the fuckers, the perverts, and me.
Have a sex toy, we'll try it. Have a fetish, we'll try it. We masturbate and copulate to recreate and educate. We are the Trisexuals.
Welcome to the Trisexuals. This is Kermit D. Frog here.
That was really good.
And I'm Miss Piggy.
You're much prettier than Miss Piggy, but I'd say that you're, you know, sex lust is pretty much on par with Miss Piggy. She's clearly a very horny character. She may be the horniest Muppet there is.
Yeah, she's very horny, and yeah.
Though I think that Gonzo's probably
Gonzo and you are
weird,
like,
in bed. Gonzo, that's true. I've taken the test, and Gonzo is, in fact, my spirit Muppet.
My spirit Muppet is actually the chef, I think.
Did you, like, have neither of you taken the quiz? There's a quiz. No. You answer a bunch of questions.
I would like to take that, actually. And find out. I've never taken it. I would like to find out.
Well, guess what we're going to do on today's podcast?
We're taking a quiz.
What Muppet are you? Like, BuzzFeed. That's how you know it's, like, legit content.
Oh, I can't look. I'm going in and out. Aww.
Okay. So we're going to come back to that in just a minute. We should actually finish our introductions. I'm Max Chameleon.
I'm Lily Chameleon.
And I'm Kit.
And welcome, guys, to the 20th episode of the Trisexuals. I don't think we're going to do anything really all that special this episode. You know, no more special than how special our ordinary episodes are. Just stop licking the mic. Oh, my God. I thought maybe after 20 episodes, you'd stop licking the mic. You got to stop putting things in your mouth.
No.
Before we get into the main content today, which we have no idea what it's going to be besides Muppets, why don't we do a little section called
What's Playing?
That was a little weird. It was totally unplanned. All right, Kit, you're on our list first here. What do you got for us?
Okay, so I actually have been cleaning out and reorganizing my whole collection, and one of my favorite things, I've sort of got them where I can see them and whatnot, I've put up here is the Average Alien, and it's been kind of a fun one I've been playing with. So this is by Damn Average, and what I love about their work is their marbles. They get like these really intricate colors and intricate designs in this. So mine is the color of mint chocolate chip ice cream. It is so cool. Like, seriously, it does. It looks like all the little mint streaks, and it's just really neat. And that the alien's got like a couple of, you know, nice knobbly bumps and ridges. So it's just a really good, it's good overall toy and a really good overall size for me too. So something I've been having a lot of fun with lately.
Awesome. All right, Lily, what have you been playing with?
Oh my goodness. So I've actually toned it down from like a million toys. I've actually been playing with the Dommy by Lovins. I've been enjoying that a lot. And then I've also been playing with the Tentacle Ika from Bad Dragon, which has beautiful colors. I'm loving the suction, the little suction things on it. It's a great toy. So that's kind of what I've been playing with. Nothing too crazy, nothing too fancy.
And that's right. That's one that we picked up from BLFC, right? So we got it direct from Bad Dragon, which is pretty neat. Tell you, I actually helped Lily play with that toy the one time that we tried it. And, you know, I got some good lube all over the suction cups and stuff. And just kind of rubbed that across the labia and the clit. And that was a good time.
Mm, it was awesome.
That a good time was had by all. All right, what the heck have I been playing with? I've actually not been doing too much in the realm of sex toys, I'm afraid. I did get, again, recently pegged by Lily by the Kedar. Still, like, my favorite pegging toy ever.
It's a good one. It really is.
I've been actually kind of focusing on gear, I guess you would say, or things to wear. So, as some of you may know, we go to Thunder in the Mountains. And I'm trying to make sure that I actually have some good gear, stuff to wear when I go there. So one of the things I picked up was this horse gas mask from Wild Gas Mask, which it looks really great. It's all black. It has like kind of like a like sunglasses for the eyes, so you can't like see my eyes when it has these cool ears. It's all made out of latex. It's an actual functioning gas mask, so it has like the valves and everything like that. And you know, I'm working on picking up a few other things, like a leather jacket. And the other thing that I'm kind of working on, I don't know if this fits in what's play, but I've been trying to get into sewing and fursuit making. It's hard. Sewing is so difficult. I have such a hard time with it. But I picked up a sewing machine and I'm trying some stuff. I put a SPH into one of Lily's existing
Kegus,
which was nice. And that came out all right. And right now I'm working on the way that I like to solve a problem, because ultimately what I want to get to is making fursuits for Lily and I. Not a lot of fursuits. We just, you know, want.
Okay, to be fair, we have like 5 or 6 planned.
That's true. We'll see how all that pans out. Well, ultimately, I want to get to the point where I can make a fursuit for Lily or I. And, you know, the way that I like to attack problems is one step at a time. So, you know, I started off with like, okay, let's modify something existing. Take the Kegu, put an SPH in it. Now what I'm working on right at this moment, I've actually stopped to come and record this podcast, is I'm working on a pair of Digigrade legs. The legs that will actually go with Lily's doe outfit that she has. She has like a deer outfit. So these would just be like the Digigrade legs. Digigrade meaning it has like the animal shape to it. So yeah, that's that. So now let's find out what Muppet you guys are.
You know, that actually reminded me too, because I haven't talked about this yet on the podcast. So I love mermaid stuff. Like, I'm turning into the biggest mervert. Okay,
this is, like, wait, is that a term?
I recently, I for like a year now, I've had a little monofin, this great little, you know, mermaid monofin, and I finally got a mermaid tail to go with it, so I can go out in my pool and swim in it, and it is the most it's the most amazing thing. It's the best experience. And it's funny because one of my neighbors came right out, he's like, oh my god, you got a new tail, is that new, blah, blah, blah. You know, it's pretty funny. So I haven't figured out how to quite integrate this into the sex toy stuff yet, you know, but it is sort of fun and related to furry, and I've been really 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 enjoying that a lot.
Yeah, your tail looks awesome. And I think that you will find a way to relate it. The thing is, we've talked about this, I think, in the episode before when we were talking with Brandy. It's really hard to know where to put an SPH on a mermaid tail.
There's not really a good
spot. It's kind of tough, yeah. Because the way that it probably will work best is if it's on the back, and that way you can kind of like do dogfish style.
Dogfish!
Like by bending your knees. But if you put it on the front where the fish business end would ordinarily be, it's like it would be very hard to actually get to the goods, I think.
You would find a way.
It's tough.
Because, I mean, on real fish, it would be like the equivalent of down in your ankles, wouldn't it? So,
oh,
you know,
is it really? I didn't know it was that far down.
Yeah, I think it's like just above the fluke or something, I think. I don't know. I don't know my fish anatomy, honestly. So,
well, it's been a while since I had sex with a fish. All right, let's be fair. It was just a warm fish stick. We're not going to talk about that.
Never speak of this again.
Never speak of this again.
Ever.
All right. So now the special part of this episode that we didn't know was coming until this moment. I have up in front of me 2 windows, identical windows for right now, but on the left side is going to be for Lily. And on the right side is going to be for Kit. And we're going to go through, ask some questions, and find out what your spirit Muppet is.
I'm all so right? excited.
You guys ready for this?
This is going to be interesting. All right,
so we're going to go question by question. And I'm going to go through it. It might be a little bit tough. Like, this first one is pick a song. It doesn't say, like, if you like the song or if you hate the song.
I think
song,
it means,
pick
like,
a
pick a song, like, the one you relate to or want the most.
The one, you most relate with. So this is probably going to be one of the harder questions, I think. All right. So here's the songs. There's 9 of them, right? Am I counting right?
Yeah.
9? All right. She blinded me with science. Green eyes. You're so vain. Pump up the jam. Pump it. Under the Bridge by Red Hot Chili Peppers. I don't think I know that one. Good Night, Irene. Dancing on My Own. No Hands. And I Just Can't Wait to Be King. This podcast has now been shut down by Disney.
Oh, man. I have to go as She Blinded Me with Science.
Really?
Oh, man, well, we can't both pick the same one, right?
Yeah, you can.
Yeah, you can totally pick the same one. Yeah, okay. Do it.
All right.
I thought that sounded pretty cool. But
all right, She Blinded Me with Science. Bump, bump, bump. What are you wearing? All right, so we have 9 possible answers. A frown, lipstick, jeans, nothing, glasses, a
they
mustache.
Answered my question.
A suit, a cool coat, or a t-shirt? Well, I will answer for Lily because, as usual, when recording the podcast, we are naked. So I'm
but
selecting...
I am wearing my glasses.
Oh, so do you want to say glasses or nothing? I guess glasses are the only thing you're wearing besides your headset. And a Fitbit. And a ring, I guess. We want to be ultra specific.
And a hair tie.
You know what's funny? You could be wearing nothing at all. I mean, not at all. I mean, it's like you're effectively naked right now, right? Like, you could go to jail. If you went outside like this, there would
totally
be problems.
Right,
there would be a lot of happy people. There would also be problems. But you're actually wearing a lot of things, just not over the things that matter, I guess.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
So are you doing glasses or nothing?
I don't know yet. What about you, Kit?
Well, I saw a frown, and I really wish they had a smile, because that would be my number one option, but I would go with nothing other than that of their options they have, yes.
Nothing.
Nothing.
All right. You two are picking the same stuff
so far? So far. Pretty weird.
All right. Pick a channel. I have a feeling that Kit's answer isn't on here, which is no. Oh, wait, no, there's I Don't Have a TV, which is probably the closest.
Oh, twist the knife. So not true. My answer is actually Animal Planet.
But... Oh, I didn't mean that to be offensive.
Oh. That was
were you
going
to pick Animal Planet?
Each one.
Max one, Kit zero. Okay.
No. I wasn't trying. Honestly, I meant it as a compliment. We've cut the cable, over a decade ago.
Yeah. Last time we had was when we first bought that TV that's in front of us.
Yeah, we actually had no cable, and then we got an HD TV over a decade ago. So we were just like, but here's the reason we got cable. This is kind of a funny story. The reason we got cable wasn't for, you know, what people ordinarily get cable for, like, oh, they want to get, I don't know, what do people get? Like shows
like
stuff.
HBO, Stars, all that shit.
The reason we had to get cable, ladies and gentlemen, was because there was at that point an HD Sunrise channel. I don't know if they'd even still exist, but we were excited to have an HDTV, so we would sit there and watch sunrises from around the world on our HDTV.
As we're getting ready for work, it was like the best way to wake up.
All right, so Lily's chosen VH1.
And VH1, I want to clarify, VH1 back from like the 90s, you know, back when they were doing the top 10 countdown on like Sundays, that kind of VH1.
Was that VH1 or MTV?
That was VH1. MTV did their whole... crazy.
All right, Kit, what are you going to do? I Don't Have TV, or you want... Oh, wait, no, Animal Planet. That's right, you said
Animal Planet. Of all the things, like, yeah, of all their options they got there, that's the closest.
Oh, this one's going to be hard for Lily. All right. There's a lot of good characters on here.
Oh, my God.
So, Didymus! Oh, God, what was the thing he used to say? I could do his voice, too. Anyway, so pick a Jim Henson character. We have a Dozer, which is from Fraggle Rock. Down in Fraggle Rock. Boom, boom. We have Nanny, which is, if you remember, you look confused. It's from the Muppet Babies.
Oh my God, you're right, because you only ever see her legs. You never see the rest of her.
Exactly. I don't think you see any adults from there unless they're on the TV, and they look at stuff from like MTV or something like that. Anyway, Red, who is a Fraggle. Jareth.
Ludo. Ludo loves Sarah.
Bert, Jen from The Dark Crystal, of course, Snuffy, Snuffleupagus.
Snuffy, there's mine.
All right, Kit is choosing Snuffy.
And then we have Sir Didymus.
Sir Didymus. Yes, you want him?
God, there's so many good ones. It would, for me, this
onward,
was...
Ambrosia!
That was a good Sir Didymus.
Oh my god, that was really
the
good.
The dog was Ambrosia, wasn't it?
It was.
Why are you such a coward, Ambrosia?
Can I say that this is kind of crazy? There's actually three here from...
Dark Crystal. Or no, from
Labyrinth.
Labyrinth, yeah, you're right.
So, I mean, this is kind of shitty that there's three from Labyrinth, and I'm like, oh my god.
Okay, have you seen Labyrinth?
I have. It's been a few years, but yeah, I have. It's really
good.
We
used to watch the Dark Crystal in Labyrinth.
Oh, yeah.
At least once a year. We're overdue for that.
And actually, just in pole class this last week, we were talking about Labyrinth because we had to use these, like, balls that we were, like, using for dancing. And
oh, really?
She's like, you know, if anybody's seen Labyrinth, they're all like, yeah. She's like, channel him. And it really worked.
The Goblin King.
Yes.
Or whatever.
I have to go with Sir Didymus. He's probably, like, my favorite character. But then again, I love Lodo. I love them all.
How are you not picking Jareth? That's what I'm confused about.
Jareth, whole... Oh, God. I love them all.
David Bowie's on a list and you're not selecting it. You're selecting
all right, Jareth, because I probably would select... Yeah, it's David Bowie. I fucking love him.
I feel this counts as leading the witness. But...
Oh, God, I love them all.
All right, what do you value in a friend?
Oh, my God, they have puns as an option. There's mine. They have a lot of good right, ones, but puns? We're going to put that.
It's an easy win on puns there. All right, so it's your Lily. Pizza? Would you value a friend pizza?
They bring pizza. I don't know.
No, I'm not judging. No, that I think that's right. We're going with pizza.
Pizza. You have
I just,
to.
I didn't get a chance
to
even
read it. You
have
to like pineapple on pizza. That's the thing. You have to like pineapple.
For the people playing at home, though, God, I don't know why you would be, because we're not going to be able to give you an answer tailored to what you're doing. But there is bravery, the ability to chill, musical talent, loyalty, brains, sarcasm, puns, parties, or pizza. All right. Next one. On a Saturday morning, you can be found recording a podcast. here we go. Reading the newspaper, playing an instrument, hungover, cracking jokes, working, hanging out with a friend, watching TV, sleeping, eating.
A Saturday morning?
Yeah, that'd be like, you know, well, I guess it's afternoon now for us, would be like earlier today. I know what I'd put for
sleeping.
You. Sleeping. Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
I love sleep. I can't help it.
What
about
you, Kit? Let me guess. Watching TV.
They don't have doing yoga on here, so I'm going to have to go with playing an instrument. I'm just not going to tell them which instrument I'm playing. Maybe it's the skin flute.
Yeah, this has a different meaning for trisexuals.
Depends on how you look at it.
Pick a movie. The Last Waltz, Chicken Run, Die Hard, Revenge of the Nerds, Jumanji, The Brave Little Toaster, Paul Blart, Mall Cop, Harry and the Hendersons, and Pitch Perfect.
Jumanji.
What about you, Kit?
Yeah, I'm going to have to go with Jumanji, too.
Jumanji.
We still have to see the new one.
Do we? Is it good?
I heard
it's really good, and I haven't seen it either, but I've heard it's really good, so...
But Robin Williams, I miss Robin Williams so much.
I do too.
All right. What would you want as a pet? I don't see chameleons, so we're actually closing this whole quiz down. Actually, there is a lizard, so.
Yeah.
A frog, a lizard, a poodle, a chicken, a pit bull, a fish, a cat, a gerbil, an ant farm.
Lizard.
Oh my god, I had an ant farm as a kid, and it was one of my... Like, I loved it so much. So I'm
going
to go with
ant farm.
Ant farm.
I love ant farms.
Ant farms are the best.
It was really, really fascinating.
Which game would you rather play? Guitar Hero, Angry Birds, Battleship, Sunk, Scrabble, Bananagrams, Duck Duck Goose, Poker, Go Fish, Charades.
Scrabble.
How about some Euro board games here, huh?
Yeah,
Scrabble.
I know.
Guitar
Wait,
Hero.
Nobody actually enjoys Scrabble. I thought people only played Scrabble when they're like forced to by their grandparents.
Oh my
yeah,
god, no. I love
day.
Scrabble. Well, you got to be able to spell and you got to know words, you know, but if you got those, like, yeah, it's fun.
Wow.
I love words. Wordplay. Yeah. I'm good.
Would you say Lily?
Actually, I like Guitar checkers Hero. Better. I can really clean your clock at checkers, but they don't have it here, so.
Now with Guitar Scrabble. Hero, I'm better at it when I'm drunk.
This is true. Well, that's pretty much true of everything. Here's an interesting thing. Maybe this is just me. I'm going to pause this for just a minute. It has charades on here. Have any of you actually played charades?
At work once.
Really?
Yeah.
You have? See, I thought, to me, charades exists in my mind as this TV trope of, like, people sitting around playing charades. And I'm like, no one's ever played charades.
Charades was the game before, what's that game? The Pictionary. That's basically what Pictionary is charades. Because you're basically trying to get the person to draw.
Yeah, but you're charades, you're acting stuff out, and you say, like, two vowels, and da-da-da, you do, like, the whole thing. Or two, you know, two syllables or something like that. Right? Have you ever played that?
Once.
Wow, and you have two, Kit?
Yeah. No,
that's just something that's totally,
it's not really my cup of tea, but yeah, I've gotten pulled into that on more than one occasion. So, yep, right, I'll take Scrabble instead.
We're going to pick a word. We have meep, rainbow, glitter, poultry, boomerang, meatballs, waka waka, and shrimp.
I think I'll take meep.
I will do glitter.
That was my second choice. Yeah, it's a good one.
All right, so we now officially have your Muppet spirit animals, or whatever, your spirit Muppets.
Uh-oh.
Kit, did you take the quiz? Do you know who you are?
I actually didn't answer. Like, I've just been following. Right,
that's good.
But I
that's good.
Yeah, you can tell me who I am. I don't know. I'm waiting on pins and needles
this
here.
This would be a good surprise. Okay, well, since you're waiting on pins and needles, we'll start with Lily.
Oh
my God.
Max, all right, so, Kit 0 for this episode.
Oh, I don't need to hurry. All right, so Lily got Dr. Teeth. Now, if you've ever seen the Muppets, this is the dude that's like, yeah, man, and he has like a, you know,
a true Ithacan.
Huge teeth and stuff like that. So you're super mellow and can rock some crazy hats and some crazy.
Crazier
beats. Oh, yeah, he has hats. Oh, yeah. You would do well as a front man of a band if you aren't one already.
God damn it, I missed my calling.
Yeah. All right, Kit. I'm excited about this one because you have no idea what it is.
No, you have no idea. And, oh my God, it's good. It's a good one.
Allow me to just say, you got Beaker.
Oh no.
You're the strong, silent type. You're easily stressed out and you're a bit clumsy, but you take your work very seriously. Translation, meep, 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 meep.
Unfortunately, that's truer than I would like to admit.
you work with Dr. Honeydew, you know. Like,
oh, yeah.
Oh, Beaker, pass me the whatever for the experiment.
Meep, meep.
Hopefully I'm not as accident prone, though. Of course, I was, like, when I was younger. It's scary. That's a little scary. Okay.
Well, there you go. So, Lily, I think you wanted to talk a little bit more about latex masks and breath play. Is that right?
So, well, the latex masks we've kind of already covered with yours. And the whole thing with when you're in, like, a latex suit or anything, you're kind of almost restricting how you breathe, what you feel. So it's interesting, and that pulls into breath play, which you and I have been practicing. Well, not practicing with, but, like, you know.
Yeah, very, very light.
Like sticking our big toe in.
Yeah. For some reason, I imagined you said sticking your big toe in. I thought you were going to say in your mouth for breath play or something, like, to prevent breathing. Like, things just got a little even stranger.
No. So it's like, you know, breath play is one of those things that it can be, like, with a lot of BDSM things, it can be very, very dangerous if you're not safe and if you're not in tune with what your bottom or your play partner is doing and how they're acting.
You have to know someone really well, and that's even if you choose to participate in such an activity. A lot of people in BDSM consider breath play edge play. In fact, I think almost everyone considers breath play edge play because it has, unlike some of the other things, there's no, you know, without just being extremely careful, you know, it has real potential for damage.
It really does. It has a lot of potential for, you know, hurting someone, them passing out, hurting your vocal cords if you're doing strangulation.
Is that true? I didn't even know that.
Yeah, you can actually hurt your vocal cords if you're pulling so tight.
Oh.
Yeah. You get bruises around your neck, then you have, like, a whole bunch of questions you have to answer if you go to work with freaking, you know, bruises around your neck.
Wow.
So it's one of those things that I'm really interested in because it's another way of being submissive and giving yourself completely to another person, putting your life in their hands, saying, look, I trust you.
And you find that to be a turn-on?
I find that to be a really big turn-on.
Now, have you ever tried or thought about or have anything to say about breath play?
I haven't tried it. No, it's something I would, if I had to choose, I would rather do than have done to me. But I am definitely not in the submissive category. I'm actually more toward a dom, so that makes sense to me. But yeah, I know it's something that you really have to know what you're doing. You know, and that's something, yeah, I would really, before I embarked on that, I would want to really know what I was doing, you know, especially if I'm the one going to be doing it. So, no, it's not something I've tried, but it's really interesting to hear your take and your thought on it.
Yeah, I mean, we're hoping that we can, I should know what classes they have at Thunder this year. If they have a breath play class, Lily and
yeah, we should definitely look into that.
And so far, we've only played with it as far as, like, I'll put my, you know, she'll ask me to do it. I want to make that clear. I'm not just...
Or I'll take his hands and put it around my neck kind of thing.
And I will not really squeeze, just kind of like have my hand there, you know, that sort of thing. That's about where we're at right now.
I know the breath can be really powerful. It's interesting. I've been taking a different style of yoga class. I teach, but I've been taking something else, and we've been actually doing a lot of breath work and practice and holding the breath, you know, so you inhale and hold it at the top of the inhale, or exhale and hold it at the bottom of the exhale. And it can feel, you know, having that, holding that breath for an extended amount of time, sometimes you can feel all kinds of emotional things coming up, or even feel like holding it out. I know I started to feel panicky actually in one class. And of course you're safe. You can inhale anytime and that's good. But that's like, I can see how that would be a really powerful way to psychologically play with someone. When you start working with the breath, it has profound effects on your mental and emotional mindset. And I know that just from the, you know, breathing practices that I've been doing. So that would be interesting to see how that fits into a sexual kind of context.
I agree. And actually, like, a lot of people, when they're masturbating, actually hold their breath right before they orgasm.
I do this a lot. I didn't actually realize I was doing it. And I think Lily pointed it out that right before I come, I start holding my breath, and I like won't let myself breathe again until after I've come. And I just do this without even thinking about it. What's interesting, what you were talking about, is that it sounds like you put yourself in a headspace.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, and that's really the point of these. And, you know, that actually makes me think about kind of like a different kind of breath play that I've been really interested in. I haven't thought about it in a while. I'm glad you guys have brought it up. But the ability to orgasm from just breathing alone. And there was a time when I was kind of playing with this, because you can train yourself to come from any kind of stimuli. So there are different kinds of breathing, like something called breath of fire, which is a really fast in and out.
Oh, yeah, I've kind heard of breath.
Yeah, that's actually a yoga practice. That's something we do. And there are different ways you can use the breath and your imagination and visualization to kind of move that feeling. And you know, so I actually have played with that on my own a bit. And that's really interesting, because when you start playing with the breath, it seems like your experiences can become even more intense, you know. So, yeah, definitely a good way to get in a headspace.
One thing that I noticed, you know, talking about breath play, that with the mask, the new latex mask I have from Wild Gas Masks, I didn't realize, and obviously I should have realized that, you know, wearing a gas mask is going to restrict my breath. Mm-hmm. It was a bit of a surprise for me. And at first I was, you know, it made me a little bit claustrophobic, and I wasn't quite used to it. But, you know, after wearing the mask a little bit, I mean, I only got it, 2 days ago, but I've worn it a couple times. And I just realized I got to slow down my breathing, not, you know, go too crazy. And then, you know, it feels just fine. It's not actually that detrimental to my breathing. But I have to say, like Lily was saying earlier, I'm kind of enjoying the latex aspect of it. I never thought I would. But for me, latex, I guess, has always kind of had a sexual element to it. Because what some of the sex explorers may not realize is that I actually started, even before I was 18, doing Red Cross sex education for a group called the Peer Educators. And they sent us to this like week-long, or maybe it was even 2-week-long thing, where they sent us to a college to, you know, and there's like a couple hundred of us, I think. And they taught us how to teach others on the use of like condoms and birth control and all that sort of stuff. So let's put it this way. Before I was even of legal sexual age, I was putting condoms on all sorts of bananas, cucumbers.
Watermelons.
Yeah. We did a watermelon.
Yeah.
Oh, you went through that
when
too?
When I was doing APO stuff, yeah. We actually proved to people, yes, you can put a regular size, not even like the gigantic ones,
yeah,
regular size you condom over a watermelon.
Watermelon. So I just have, you know, when I'm at these sex ed things, which there happens to be, I'd say that the ratio of male to female is much higher. You know, there's a lot more females there than males. And here I am, you know, at that particular age, I'm going through puberty and everything like that, surrounded by, you know, other girls my own age, and I'm putting condoms on wooden dicks and stuff. Like, so now, like, the whole, like, when I smell a condom, I'm instantly, like, in a sexual head, or latex
it
at
is,
all. I smell, that... I have a, I'm in that headspace, like,
and I think most of us can admit, like, that latex smell comes from condoms, that first, you know, sexual experiences. So it kind of brings back
I'm sure
lust.
It's responsible for at least a certain amount of latex fetish, right? Like, I think there's different parts of it, I'm sure. And people are into things for all sorts of different reasons. Mm-hmm. But, you know, latex bodysuits are hot because they're, like, skin tight and it's smooth and shiny.
Oh, my God. I still
want
to get one of those.
Well, we'll work on it. We'll work on it. But, yeah, and then there's also the smell element. But, you know, the smell thing, you have to wonder if condoms weren't made out of latex, right? Like, would there be that many people interested in the smell of latex? There's nothing about that smell, I think, specifically that makes it hot. I think it's the context in which you're smelling that smell. And the brain's highly susceptible to recording or associating smells to particular contexts.
So this
that memory goes to a deeper and longer recorded part of your brain. Where
it really does. It brings up a good question, like, okay, let's say you're having a bad experience when you're younger with latex, the smell.
Oh, yeah.
Do you now have an aversion to latex?
Absolutely. I think that's entirely the case. I mean, I've not experienced that personally, but I believe I've heard of situations where people have, you know, gone through some sort of trauma, and there's been a particular smell present during that trauma, and then when they smell that, boom, it puts you right in that context.
Wow. That's some deep stuff.
Well, think about this. Think about this. If you were to smell a hospital, I don't even just look at you, just the thought of smelling, like, you know, that hospital smell.
Oh, my God.
Your anxiety is up. So is that not exactly what
it's
we're talking
about?
It's
exactly the same thing, because it brings back so many different serious memories from different things.
Usually not positive ones. There's a couple times being in the hospital is a positive experience. Yeah. And I mean, look, you know, digging a little bit deeper, being in the hospital is positive because it's great to have healthcare and, you know, and something that ordinarily might be fatal, you know, hospital, you know, they do amazing things, and thank goodness for nurses and doctors and, you know, modern
medicine.
Medical science.
Oh.
It's just amazing what they can do today. I mean, I wouldn't be, firstly, I wouldn't be alive, right? Because I was an asthmatic child.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Like, they put me in, like, a breathing thing, all that stuff. The number of times I had to go when I was young, you know, to get airways opened up and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Even just recently, like, I broke my leg in a bunch of places. I mean, semi-recently. It was
like five years ago.
Broke my leg in a bunch of places. That probably would have been an amputation case.
I would
back,
still have bigger
back
boobs.
Back in the day, you'd still have bigger boobs. You'd have bruises all over your face from running and hitting yourself in the face.
I wouldn't have my birth control.
You wouldn't have your birth control. We'd be pregnant. You know, like, You know, so thank goodness for all that. But still, like, when you are in a hospital, you're usually not experiencing a lot of happy things.
Yeah, except for, you know, I'm sure there's things like, you know, when you're, like, we get to see our niece.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that was a happy time.
And that sort of thing, you know. I don't know. Any thoughts on that, Kit? Do you have any scent aversions or scent, you know, memories or anything like that?
Oh, absolutely. Actually, it's a really powerful thing what you're talking about, and it's actually kind of at the base of aromatherapy massage too.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So that's a really big thing. And of course I have a the first guy that I ever had sex with, he used herbal essences in his hair. He actually had kind of long hair, a ponytail. It was really, and there was one particular flavor of it, and any time I've ever smelled that again, boom, it takes me right back to that. You know, even though it's been a very long time. Yeah. So it's interesting how that has a really direct pathway right to your memories and your emotions.
Yeah. It's the same thing with me and certain perfumes, like especially certain guy perfumes. Oh, yeah. And it could be good or bad.
You know what it is for me besides latex? Water-based lubricant. Mm-hmm. When I smell water-based lubricant, that also brings me like, oh, it's good times happening.
Yep, or but, even sunscreen. Like, the smell of sunscreen just, like, puts you right back to happiness.
Oh, yeah, sunscreen for sure. And even you'll smell, like, coconut or something outside of the context of where sunscreen is. You're like, oh, it's sunscreen. You know, that you think about the beach and stuff. Yeah, which are also beach-related. But, you know, there's actually good evolutionary reason for why smells are like this, because the whole concept is if you smell or taste something and then get sick, you develop an aversion to it. And that means that, you know, back in the wild or whatever like that, you ate a berry that smelled a particular way and it made you sick. Now you're going to avoid that.
Or even like stale water, like water that's been sitting out, it has a particular smell to it.
So that's pretty interesting stuff. And that mask, I can't wait to play around a little bit more. I have actually a Mad Max style jacket, leather jacket that's in the mail that I'm going to be wearing with it.
Oh my God, he's so freaking hot with this stuff on.
Yeah, I can't wait to go to like a pony event or a thunder with it and see what kind of reactions I get. It makes me seem tough.
You're going to get some reactions because it's pretty awesome.
I hope so. I hope so. As we talked about in the last episode, I am an attention whore. So.
Oh my God, so much of an attention whore. It's pathetic.
What is it you said last episode? If Max doesn't get attention, he pouts.
Oh yeah, if you don't get attention, like if you don't get a certain amount, you totally pout like a little child. You stamp your foot and everything. You're like, why isn't everybody giving me attention?
Well, I should always get a large amount of attention, I think.
Yeah, but it's kind of funny to watch.
All right, guys. Well, you know what we should do right now?
What?
We should have a word from our sponsor.
And if you do want to become a sponsor or advertise with us, go ahead and send us a message.
Hey, Sexplorers. I'm really excited to talk to you today about a truly exceptional sex toy shop, Vibrant. Located at bevibrant.com, Vibrant has a commitment to inclusivity with a sex-positive and education-forward approach. As the Trisexuals, we love to recommend Vibrant. We can be sure that each and every toy that they carry is of high quality and is 100% body safe. You simply can't go wrong. Vibrant is also backed by Planned Parenthood of the Rocky Mountains. How cool is that? As fans of the show, you'll receive 20% off your order at bevibrant.com when using the code TRISEXUALS at checkout. That's TRYSEXUALS. That's bevibrant.com. And use the code TRISEXUALS at checkout to get 20% off your body-safe toys. Thank you to Vibrant for supporting the Trisexuals and making the sex-positive world a better place. Did you just yawn?
Mm-hmm. She totally
You're
just
falling
yawned.
Asleep.
Huh? Oh, no. Uh-uh. I yawn a lot. Actually, I've been, there's this great series of things, videos by a vocal coach. And I've been doing those. And one of the things he has you do is yawn. And now, once I kind of got in the habit, like, I yawn all the time. And it feels really good. Well, so, know, that, doesn't mean actually, I'm tired. It just feels really good.
Yeah, that's actually an interesting point. I remember, like, you know, people think that when you yawn, it means you're tired. What actually the yawn does is wakes you up.
Yeah, it's getting oxygen to your brain.
Well, it's doing that, but, like, the whole adaption of it is to wake you up. It's like a little energy shot.
And it really stretches out the muscles on the interior of your throat and, you know, all around through the back of the throat and the mouth and even into the diaphragm and releases that. And that release of tension feels so good.
I have to say, all I can think about now is deep throating. I'm sorry, honey.
Though, if you have to stretch your diaphragm for deep throating, you might be doing it wrong.
Well, then again, it could have somebody could have a really long schlong. You never know.
Yeah, but you're talking about piercing a lung. The diaphragm's down here.
It's probably more like up here.
The diaphragm?
Yeah, it's like right here.
Kit, we need help.
You're going to have to pierce the lung to get to your diaphragm if you're going down through the throat. I don't know. Well, actually, your esophagus does go down through. I mean, you know, you swallow food and it goes down past. But I don't know. I don't know how you get to your diaphragm in a way that's not painful. So, yeah.
I feel like we should name this episode the "We Don't Know Much About Science" episode, but we're going to try anyway.
We don't know much about anatomy is really what it comes down to.
No, well, Kit knows a lot about anatomy, but probably not as much about the diaphragm in relation to lungs.
Yeah, internal organs, you know, I mean, there's so much to know. I know a lot more about muscle and connective tissue because that's what I've worked with. But yeah, there's just so much to know and so much we don't know. So
you could say that Kit's knowledge of anatomy is only just a little bit more than skin deep.
You're trying to get it. You're trying to be like, again, Max 3, Kit 0. I see what you're doing.
Oh, no, I'm not trying.
Yeah, that's what you're doing this episode.
I saw a good pun. I had to take it.
You know, not every pun should allow you to be able to walk right through and do it.
No. No.
Like,
every pun should. Every pun
should. Just because you let the door open doesn't mean you have to jump on it.
No. I'm not trying to say anything bad.
You should jump on it. If there's a good pun, take it. You should always take the good pun.
Don't encourage him. Trust me. Just don't encourage him.
No, I'm just saying. I'm being honest. If there's a door open, take it, because I would. So, I have no problem doing it. So.
Well, I didn't mean any offense.
Oh, I know. I'm not offended.
You do that.
I'm
laughing.
So, Sexplorers, what I want to hear from you guys about, what I want to talk to you about, is sex toy organization.
Oh, my God. I actually get questions about this a lot. Because once you get more than a few toys, especially if they have to plug in, you're like, you have this tangle of cords, and you're like, what goes to what? Which thing charges which? Where's the cord for blah, blah, blah? And it can make you crazy. So I've actually got a good solution for this, what I did. So, you know, when you get a bread bag, how there's that little, like, tag-like thing on it that, you know, closes the bread bag? Well, that tag, it's wide enough that you can take a marker and, like, write the name of the toy on that, and then that will slip onto the cord, and then all of your cords are labeled. And then I have a bag so I can put the toy and the cord together, but if you label your cords, you will never have that problem again, and it's a life saver.
So this is a problem that we've run into, especially with the cords, and some of them actually use the same receiving end for the charger, but might actually be a different voltage or wattage or whatever.
Yeah.
So I think we blew out a wand this way before. I'm not exactly sure what happened, but maybe it just broke in general. But, like, so what we've done, so we've been labeling our cords as well. I didn't think about the bread tag idea, which I think is pretty good. We have a label maker. We've been, as toys come in, we put on the label maker, like, what toy that belongs to.
Yeah. It would be nice that if, like, the toy makers, when they do a cord like that, just put, like, their symbol. So we know that it goes to, like, one of the, you know.
Well, so my guess is with a lot of these, I mean, some of them are custom-made, right? Like, Fun Factory has a custom-made cable.
Yeah.
But a lot of them are just using standard USB wires.
Mm-hmm.
And to make a custom one of that instead of just buy a huge stock from China or whatever pre-made. It's too expensive. It's going to be too expensive.
That's true.
So, you know, we're going to have to come up with our own solutions, like what Kit did with her bread tag and in our labeling thing.
And I'm interesting, like, you just put your bread tag on the cords, right? You don't put it on the actual toy itself,
no,
right?
not on the toy. It'll fit above the little end that plugs in. For the most part, like, and I label my other cords around the house too. Like, if you have a power strip with a bunch of things plugged into it, and you don't know which is what, like for your computer or something, you can put that little bread tag and label. So you're like, oh, this one goes to the monitor, and this one goes to the whatever, you know. Mm-hmm. And so so I'd done that for a while with those, and so yeah, I just expanded the idea out into that, and it'll just fit on the cord and just slide up and down or whatever. But it's there. And then, you know, you have things set straight.
So, Kit, what if you don't eat a lot of bread, though? Like, are you buying bread and just, like, throwing it out to get to the tags?
I eat bread. Come on, guys.
I just imagine this big pile of bread. And don't get me wrong, this pile of bread that's sitting in your living room, which is about 4 feet high right now, actually has a label on it, so it's labeled as a pile of bread. But then you have, like, the plastic bags that you're using for breath play, right? You got a pile of those,
oh,
and then you
God.
Have all the every wire in the house is labeled.
Well,
you could bust it open, the walls and the electric wires and stuff, everything's all got bread tags on it.
You could always use your bread to clean up stuff, like, you know, confetti or broken glass, or, you know.
Well, you use bread for
what?
Well, if you ever break something and you get little bitty glass shards, you can press bread down and it'll kind of help pick it up.
That's a genius idea.
Oh my God, why haven't we used this yet?
Because we never talked to Kit specifically about cleaning up. Hey, do you have any alternate... Hey, will you want to do a podcast with us? And also, do you have any alternate methods for cleaning up glass?
Yeah.
No, which reminds me, poor Lily. Oh my God. So when I get my mind set on something, in this case, like I mentioned earlier, I'm making fursuit legs right now, and I'm doing digitigrade, which means there's foam that needs to be cut. I made such a big mess. Like, you wouldn't believe the mess, because I started cutting the foam into little pieces, you know, shaping it and all that sort of stuff. It's electrostatic. It sticks to the walls. It goes up. The cat's running around looking like she's been, like, hit with 1,000 little snowballs. She's like a little abominable snow creature running around with little bits of foam all over. It's all over my scissors, everything. So I'm, like, running from, like, station to station doing different parts of this fursuit thing, and Lily's just following up with, like, the broom and the vacuum and just trying to get, like, things, like, somewhat orderly. I don't know if bread will fix our foam problem, though.
No, but I think I picked up 90% of the foam. I'm sure there's still a little bit of foam.
Wait, it got tracked into here. I see one, two, three, four that had followed us in here, probably attached to my butt.
Or to your feet.
Yeah. Well, no. I walk on my butt, you know. It's like a weird snail sort of thing. I just kind of, like, drag myself around.
You kind of do, too. Like,
what are you talking
about? You do the crab, though, really well.
I'm expert crab walker. I will challenge anyone listening to this. I will out-crab you any day. And then I'll get to go to the hospital and smell the lovely smell that we were talking about earlier.
Yeah.
So what about other forms of toy storage? Now, Kit, I happen to know that not so long ago, maybe even a year ago, I don't know, you ended up putting two toys that were silicone next to each other, and they still ended up interacting in a way, right?
Well, it wasn't two toys. It was a toy. It was an ovipositor and its egg mold, and the egg mold was maybe some other kind of plastic or something. I'm still not sure what happened, but it did, like, the toy got these little holes in it. I don't know. It was really sad. So I put the egg molds in a separate place. Like, I've got a drawer where I've got those kind of things and stuff like that, and just kind of keep them away from the toys. And what I've done with my toys now, I've got an over the door shoe rack. And so I've got toys in each of those pockets.
That's a good one.
I have had to put some more in a drawer, and then in my play space, what I've done is I usually play in the bathtub. So I've got, like, this nice bathtub space that I can use. And I've got a shower caddy, a great big, like, three-level one with some hooks and everything, so I can hang, like, you know, flogger and different kinds of things on there. And so I've got a bunch of toys there. So they're ready to play with, and sometimes, like, I'm weird. I like to, even if there's no water in the tub, I'm like, this is still a good place to play because all my stuff's right here. So I've kind of done that. Ooh. With it. But
so
I
get in the empty tub.
Yeah, I know. Isn't that weird? But it's actually kind of nice.
So
and then it's like after you played, if you're like, oh, you have coconut oil all over, or if you've done any massage stuff, then you can just fill up the tub and soak with that. And that's actually really nice.
No, I think it makes sense. The only problem is I can't fit in a bathtub.
No, you
can't.
We have to get an extra large one for you.
Yeah.
I can just sit down and my feet will be touching one end and my back will be against the other end of the tub.
Yeah,
if it's
so
like
actually
a standard
having
tub,
like a bath time, like for Max and I to be in at a bath together, doesn't happen.
Yeah, it doesn't happen like that. But no, I think that that's a great idea. And then again, it almost comes back to our like discussion on context, right? So now, would you enter that bathroom kit? Do you just start getting turned on?
Actually, it's kind of true, though. It's like, that's my like play space. You go in there and you're like, I know I've got a lot of good toys in there. And then, you know, if you like look, you're like, oh, you know, I've got some, there's some lube and I've got, you know, you get inspired. You're like, oh, there's this pretty toy and there's my favorite this and I love that toy. And you see those things and it does help you really feel inspired. So definitely. In fact, I kind of tried to like decorate it a little bit. So it's a little bit like I've had sometimes dreams, like sexy dreams about different things. And so I've got little things that remind me of those.
Awesome.
And yeah, things that are just kind of inspiring.
You know, all this makes me do. So Lily and I used to own a house. We used to have a 4-bedroom house, if you can believe it. No one else was living there, just us. The unfortunate thing is when we had this house, we were not kinky yet. We weren't like into fun stuff. So I didn't even think what to do with these rooms. But right now, like, I just think back on the missed opportunity we had, because I totally would have had a dungeon. I'm so jealous of our friends that have a house and they have this dungeon. And a dungeon sounds like, oh my God, think scary place. But really, dungeon, basically, your bathroom kit is your dungeon,
it's
right?
It's a safe place you can play.
It's a place that you go to play. And so when people are like into BDSM, that sort of stuff, maybe they have a St. Andrew's cross there. But also, there's, you know, a resting spot, like a place for recovering from play and that sort of thing. But I would just love to have room dedicated to it. As it is right now, we're in a 2-bedroom apartment, and there's just not enough room for us to have that separate space.
I guess you're right. That's kind of what I've done, because it's like I've got candles. I've got like some of those Himalayan salt lamps in there. So I've got candlelight glow. I've got floating candles. I've got this great like lighting thing that's got a little remote control, and I've got the remote so I can, it's like encased in plastic so I can run it from the tub and I can just change the lighting and atmosphere in there. I've got like every kind of massage oil and essential oils and all of the, you know, the feather tickler, and I've got everything you would need in there. So I guess you're right. I kind of have turned that into a playroom, even though it's a pretty small bathroom. I mean, it's a small space. It's just basically, you know, that tub area. And then, you know, the rest is just kind of a bathroom.
If it's a place that you can feel comfortable in, the size is irrelevant. You know?
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly.
Especially, and that's why, you know, storage ends up being so important. One thing that we've had to do, because we can't have a dedicated play space, really. You know, we have our bedroom. But, and this is kind of an interesting topic, because I believe from a philosophical perspective, maybe not philosophical, but I feel that it's best to actually keep energetic activities out of the place you sleep, which is kind of crazy because most people have sex in bed, right? Ideally, if I had enough space, I wouldn't be having sex in the same place that I sleep, because I feel like you want to set that context to be a sleep context. Well, regardless, we don't really have that option right now. But one thing that we had to do, because we have so many toys, and at any given point, they can't even all be in the same room, really. They're all spread out throughout our apartment. We created what we call the CC inbox. That is the Carnal Chameleon inbox. And it's actually a little container we take around. It's actually an ammo can, which are one of my favorite storage methods. And it's just enough to fit in, like, you know, maybe 3-4 different toys. And that is our, like, okay, these are the toys that we're supposed to be, like, reviewing right now and really working on. And so we can take that, you know, into any room we want and play it. And like, if we were trying to decide what to play on that night, that's the first go-to box that we have of the stuff we're supposed to be playing with. As far as like the long-term storage, we ended up doing a bunch of different bins, some ammo cans, some things from
Harbor Freight.
Cheap things from Harbor Freight. We label them and we tried to organize them by what their use is. Right, we have one for like prostate and pegging play. We have one that's like restraint and
yeah, we have flogging. One that's silicone dicks.
Silicone dicks and you know things I stick and my dick in.
And it used to be like, and the labeling is very interesting. So everybody has their own method for labeling, and I know for us at one point in time we had the like planets and
so there was actually bodies. A good reason that we did this. So we didn't label things with their actual label. We used to live in the same place that my family was, not in the same physical space, but the same city. And I had company over a lot, basically mm-hmm. people I don't want to know about all this stuff. So we actually came up with this whole elaborate labeling scheme. I guess maybe it's not that elaborate, but for us, there was actually a reason why everything was labeled. So, like, Uranus was back-end toys. They're all named after different planets.
Persephone
and stuff.
Was...
The Sea of Tranquility was our lube container. I can't remember what the reason was for it. Everything had, like, a reason for it. And then there was Venus, which is where we would keep all my penetrable toys, because Venus is, tied to femininity and that sort of thing. And Mars was the dicks.
Yep.
Right? I'm trying to remember what some of the other things were that we had.
What do we put the vibrators in?
I feel like Jupiter was restraint because it has such strong gravity.
Yeah.
And Saturn...
was rings.
Was rings, like cock rings and that sort of stuff.
Yeah, that was Saturn.
Anything that rings, yeah. But what's cool about this is we'd have all the stuff stacked up, and people who know me, imagine that. They think I'm kind of nerdy. So it's not so unusual, like, oh, I see a bunch of boxes here labeled as the planets. Like, you know, what is Max doing? God, you know, could be building models or whatever. They don't really question. They don't think twice about it.
Yeah.
But for us, we know where everything is. You know, it's kind of a neat system that way. Then when we moved away from that city... we were able to, just label things what they are. But now we have an interesting situation because my mother's going to be staying with us for 4 days. So it's going to be...
Someone help me. My mother-in-law is going to be in a two-bedroom apartment for 4 days. Someone help me.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting. But obviously we're ripping off all the labels off the bins. We're actually throwing most of our toys into a couple foot lockers and burying them deep, deep in the back of the closet.
And they're definitely going to be locked.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Anyway, so that's going to be fun, but that's what we do for storage. And within those, I've tried all sorts of things, baggies and even like little 3D printed stacking things. The only thing that seems to work the best, I think, is just like cheap Ziploc bags. The ones that actually have like the plastic zipper on them and you can reuse them. And those seem to work well. They're clear so you can see what the toy is and it's non-reactive.
You put a little baby powder in there.
You don't usually need to do that with silicone toys. We need to do the baby powder, or not baby powder, it's a cornstarch for storing our fleshlight, which I need a new fleshlight. What else was I going to say? Yeah, so, but one thing, and I think that when we get a bigger place, or one thing we might change is what we saw at the Mile High Dungeon, which I thought was a great idea. So right now we have like a, what is that called? Like a, just a drawers?
That's like a, it's kind of like a, it's kind of like a china cabinet-ish thing, only smaller.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's tall. It goes all the way up, but it's not very wide. But it has shelves on it, and we put a lot of our sex toys there. But, you know, I'm totally sold on this idea that we saw at the Mile High Dungeon.
Oh, my God, I want to do it.
Kid, I don't even know if we told you about this one. But
I don't
took,
think
like,
so.
They had cabinets all over the so this is Mile High Dungeon. It's a, you know, play space. They had, you know, cabinets with closing doors and everything, and they had taken the shelves out. And instead, they'd put pegboard in the back. And then they would get little things. And you can 3D print that. They have like a whole set of things you can 3D print to fit in pegboard that can hold specific toys. So you can hold a toy like a dildo like upside down by its flared base, or you could like lay it sideways. Like,
oh, you know, my like God, that's what I need. Some
of the wall. So you can like change it around, organize it. And it's better because here's the problem I've had with the shelves, which you'd think would be all right. The problem I have with the shelves is that inevitably you're going to have to go too deep.
Yeah, or right? Three deep or four deep.
Or whatever, depending on how big your toys are. And you go to get the one in the back, you knock over all the motherfucking dildos out of the way, and they go flying everywhere. And
or then, like the tongue from, was it Primal Hardware?
Yeah, how the like hell do you store that thing?
You have no idea. Know? It's so hard to store that. So,
I think that's what I need to do, actually, instead. Because my over-the-door hanger was fine for a while, but now I have too many toys for it. And sometimes, like, it's hard to see what you've got. You end up having things and you forget that you have them. But, like, a pegboard like that would be perfect because there it is. You can see it. You can grab it. You can admire. Oh, there are my pretty things.
It'll look really cool. It's like if you see that scene in a movie when they're like, okay, we need to get some weapons now. And they go visit the crazy guy. He pulls the curtain and there's, like, pegboard with all the different weapons
there. So instead of a zombie apocalypse, we're going to have a dildo apocalypse.
Oh, well, you have to attack whatever the creature is that's going to take over the world with these dildos, right? That's the idea. So these are our weapons. But yeah, you want to be able to pull a curtain and actually see it. You could throw lights on them, make it look really cool. But they're all like lined up there, ready to go. Everything has its place. You could put little labels underneath them, right?
I have a wall in my closet and I know what I'm going to do with that now. I'm going to totally go rearrange my face. This is awesome. Yeah.
Yeah, pegging board.
A pegging board. I love it. It even has its own pun. That's how I know it's a good idea.
That's how I know it's a good idea.
It's got its own pun. Well, and I've seen people, too, use wine racks for, like, their wands and things.
Oh, yeah.
I don't have a ton of wands, or I would do that, but if you've got a lot of wands, yeah, the wine rack thing would be really...
I was just thinking, we should have kept that wine cooler that we had, and I could put dildos in there and make them all cold before I use one.
Oh, fuck you. You know what? I'll just put some ice in my mouth and just, you know, put your penis in my mouth. How's that
feel? I actually enjoy that quite a bit. It's not as offensive as you might think.
God damn it.
So now, Sexplorers, it is time for the Define This segment. This is the section where we attempt to define a ridiculous entry from Urban Dictionary. Today's word is provided again by Darkness. You are a corrupted individual, you know that?
She really is. Oh my God.
Now I'm starting to wonder. Darkness, this note is for you. Do you just, like, browse Urban Dictionary? Like, how do you know all these words? I'd love to know.
Let us know. I'm curious. And then if anybody would like to send us, you know, a sexy word from Urban Dictionary for the segment, just let me know.
We'll We'll probably, before the next episode, we'll go out and we'll ping people, see what they think we should do. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so here's the word or phrase or whatever for today. It's Hartford hot sauce.
Oh, man.
We've had so many lately that are to do with, like, flames and heat and hot sauce and all that sort
Darkness
of stuff.
Darkness is spicy, I'm telling
spicy.
You.
Spicy. Well, spicy Kitsune.
I don't know what it is, but I know what it makes me think of.
What?
It makes me think of using hot sauce for lube. Isn't that scary?
Oh, God, ow!
Well, there's Kit's answer.
So, that's why I laughed when you said it. Oh my God, that's horrible.
Oh, my God. All right, so Hartford hot sauce. I'm going to say wherever Hartford is, I feel like it's maybe in Vermont or Virginia. I don't know why. But anyway, it's wherever Hartford is. Instead of using hot sauce on their food, what it is it's spicy ejaculate that they put on their food as a sauce.
Oh, like the special sauce.
Yeah, like a special sauce. All right, it's Hartford, Connecticut. That's right.
Connecticut. All right. I'm going to go. I don't know anything about Hartford, Connecticut, period. I don't know anything about anything, but I'm just going to go ahead and say it's a jalapeno penetrable. I'm pretty sure that's not it, but...
Jalapeno on the stick.
Jalapeno on my stick.
Jalapeno.
Oh my gosh. God. What a terrible trick to play on someone. What if you... Oh my God. Why is this in my head? What if you took someone's, like, penetrable toy, their favorite one, and you, like, just coat it with a freaking jalapeno on the inside?
Please do not do this. Oh, but if you do, make sure you clean it out.
That is so mean.
That's a hospital trip right there.
Sex Force, don't do this. Don't listen to
you
Max.
You should never do anything that exists on Urban Dictionary.
No. So, shall we look it up?
All right. I'm afraid. I'm worried this one's a bad one.
They're all bad ones.
Yeah, some could be really bad. All right, Urban Dictionary. Hartford. I know how to spell hot sauce. A sex act.
That's how you know
It's starting good. The guy gets ready for anal sex by appearing to apply lubricant to the condom. He secretly switches the lube for Icy Hot.
Oh, God!
Or Ben Gay, if that's the way you swing. The challenge is to complete the act before the burning begins.
Oh!
Wow.
Oh.
She, quote, lost the tickets to the Red Sox game on the same night the ballet was in town, so I gave her the Hartford hot sauce.
Oh my
no sex explorers. Remember what last episode we said? Do not set your dick on fire. This
but if you
counts.
Do.
No, do not start your dick on fire. Do not.
Don't do this. Just don't. Like, why would you?
Darkness. Why did you come across this? What does your life look like that this is something that has come into your lexicon?
Oh dear.
Oh my God. Icy Hot. Ow.
Wow.
Ben Gay. Tell you, I like the smell of that stuff.
Oh, I love though. That smell of that stuff. Oh man. Well, on that note, we probably should wrap up because this is terrifying.
We can't go any lower. We've hit rock bottom.
Definitely rock bottom at this point. We've gone past the drainage down to the garbage chute and out the other side.
Drainage, garbage chute. It's a good thing Lily's not a civil engineer. We'd be in some real trouble.
No, I am definitely not a civil engineer.
Thanks for listening to the Trisexuals podcast. Remember to rate us on iTunes, tell your friends about the podcast, join us on Twitter, Instagram, and Telegram. This is Max Chameleon. It's better to be a chili head than to have a chili on your head.
This is Kit. Just remember, when she says she wants to get hot with you tonight, that does not mean it's time to break out the icy hot.
And I'm Lily Chameleon. And, don't set your dick on fire. But if you do...
No!
No!